Our scripture this morning is from the book of Mark. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there before them appeared Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus says to Peter, "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So I ask you, where is your mind and your concern?" I think that many times we need this reminder to focus on God's big plan and not just the physical world in our immediate vicinity. This is true even in our Lenten practices. To fast from sweets or fast food or TV is admirable. But how are we growing spiritually from those practices? How is that personal sacrifice part of God's plan? I know that I personally am really looking forward to chocolate again on Easter. Hopefully I'll be a little healthier, which pleases God. But the part of the practice for me that I find to be important is how fasting changes my prayer life. When I'm tempted, I pray more, and I really like chocolate, so it's starting to become the whole pray without ceasing thing that we hear about in 1 Thessalonians. And although it's great, you know, that I may have lost a little bit of weight and taken better care of my body, and that I'm really trying to deepen my prayer relationship with God, I feel like we're called to make a bigger change and really grow during this season of Lent. When Jesus rebuked Peter, it was because he wanted him to change his entire view of how the Messiah works. Peter, at this point, along with many of the other disciples and the followers of Christ, were still hoping for Jesus to become a world leader, a power here on earth. They thought that that's what the prophets foretold, was a king for here. They didn't want to hear that those in power were going to end up killing their friend Jesus. Peter wasn't thinking in terms of God's bigger plan, so Jesus had to set him straight. He contradicts what humans naturally seem to do, which is to work to secure their own comfort. Jesus tells them instead that they have to deny themselves, that they have to be sacrificial. And I can imagine that this kind of shift in their thinking did not come easily. Can you imagine expecting a king and instead you have a carpenter with dusty sandals. And now not only has he told you it's not going to get any better, it's going to get worse. I'm going to die. I'm pretty sure it took a lot of prayer on their part. And that to some degree they hoped, even though Jesus was telling them this, I think they hoped that he was wrong. So then God stepped in. About a week after Peter and Jesus' disagreement, God spoke to Peter and James and John on the mountain, personally confirming that Jesus is his son, whom he loves, commanding them to listen to Jesus, essentially telling the disciples that Jesus knows the plan. He's on it. You need to stick with him. Don't just listen to him, but believe what he is saying. That had to be a moment of high emotion. The wonder of seeing these long dead prophets, the awe of hearing God's voice coming from this cloud. Having your belief that your friend is the long awaited Messiah for your people. But then you remember that he said that part of that plan is that he's going to die. The text tells us that they were so frightened, and I'm sure that I would have been too. I can't imagine having that sort of experience and the overwhelming just fear of what is going on. But I bet that that was a moment that Peter, James, and John never forgot, and that it changed them for the rest of their lives. When they're up on the mountain, Jesus is also transfigured. His holiness and purity transform his outward appearance, quite literally. What would we look like if our appearance was determined by our souls right now? I'm thinking mine could use a bit of a cleanup. It could use some change. I'd like to see it grow. I'd like it to be bigger. Can it grow to be bigger so that I love my neighbors more? Can we be more concerned with those who struggle around us? Can we care about the struggles of those far away? What are we doing to become more Christ-like this Lenten season? God is calling us as Christians not just to a change of heart, but to action. He wants to see us change and grow. A Bible study from the Right Now ministries that we have started subscribing to as a church had a great Bible study on prayer that Justin had recommended, and it was led by a man called Philip Yancey, and he put it like this: we can be a rock that remains in a state of repose where it doesn't move, it just rests there, or we can be an avalanche. An avalanche doesn't start big, but when you get that one rock, you've got the snow and all of the rocks around it, and it becomes a huge force of nature. And it just gains more and more momentum. And I pray that this season, we would make a small change, that we wouldn't remain in that angle of repose, but that we would change and gain that same kind of momentum so that we can help the lives of those around us. I had the privilege to take communion to a wonderful couple this month, whom I had never met before from our church, and they told me that years ago they were at a Tibetan restaurant with a friend of theirs, and they were just talking about, you know, the plight of the church in Tibet and how the living conditions there are just rough, and the three of them decided that they were going to found this organization in Pittsburgh that still exists today, the Pittsburgh Friends of Tibet. And they went on to build a medical dispensary and supply it because they had dinner in a Tibetan restaurant. Such a small thing, and it grew to include hundreds of people and hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations and working with major corporations to help these people whom they had never met. They didn't have family there. They weren't planning to move there. But they were so inspired by their love of Christ and for his people that this is something that they felt compelled to do, and it changed the lives of the people who lived there. And this brings me to my challenge for you. Pastor Justin has asked us to issue a challenge each week. Bear with me. So I want you to try to give up two things this week: TV and indifference. In this culture, I'm really not sure which one's harder. Instead of watching TV, I challenge you to talk to your family or friends. Call someone who you know could use some cheering up or lend them a helping hand. Did you ever think of maybe volunteering somewhere? You know, clearances, like the two clearances Linda talked about earlier, $20. And if you're using them for the church, we pay for them. But those same clearances can help you to volunteer in a school who desperately need adult volunteers to help with the children. The ratios of the teachers to the students is just getting to be overwhelming, and a lot of those kids can benefit from that one-on-one interaction with an adult volunteer. You can use the time that you would have watched TV to pray for others. There are actually apps for your phone that I use when someone goes, hey, can you pray for, you know, my aunt, or can you pray for my son or my cousin's sister's fiance? I put it in my app because there are just so many people out there who need prayers, and it's something that I can easily take out and just devote a little bit of time that may make a difference later on. Pray for the people in the bulletin. Pray for the poor, the hungry children here and around the world. Pray for the communities who live in fear of malaria. Use this time to think about the struggles we usually ignore, or worse, have become indifferent to. The United Methodist Church has launched a huge Imagine No Malaria campaign for Lent this year. We here at Trinity aren't doing it to the degree that some of the other churches are, but we did want to bring it to your attention. We'll actually have a display up when we have a little more room. So the following information is taken from the ImagineNoMalaria.org website. So I'm sure you've heard me talk about it a little before from my trips to conference, because Bishop Bickerton is a major supporter and proponent in the Imagine No Malaria campaign. So malaria is caused by a parasite that is transmitted through a mosquito bite. Once in the host, it travels through the bloodstream and into the liver and multiplies. It then goes back through the bloodstream, attacking red blood cells. The symptoms include high fever, chills, joint pain, and headaches. If left untreated, it leads to organ failure and then death. Almost 90% of its victims are children under 5 and pregnant women. It was eradicated in the U.S. in the 1950s and can be both prevented and cured. Yet someone in sub-Saharan Africa dies from it every 60 seconds. So while we've been in church, you know, that's all, right now 55 people have died. In 2007, the World Health Organization estimated that there were more than 1 million deaths from malaria. In 2012, it was estimated to be 627,000. This is still obviously a huge problem, but think of all of those lives that were saved because of the efforts of the United Methodist Church and our partners. And at this point, you're probably wondering why my message took that sharp turn towards malaria. It's because I have an amendment to my challenge, because I promised Pastor Justin that I would talk about Imagine No Malaria. So, if you have to watch TV this week, I would like you to consider donating a dollar for every hour of TV you watch to the Imagine No Malaria campaign. I would especially ask that you use the time away from your TV, though, to think about how we as an individual and as a congregation can help that cause later on this year. We could actually see the eradication of this deadly disease globally, and the United Methodist Church is a big reason for that. What an amazing testament to our love for God's children that we would help those we have never met and care enough to work hard to help them. So please don't be indifferent to their plight because you can't see them. There's a little boy just like Sebastian's age who could be dying right now. We have the ability to help them, and so the question is, will we? How will we change and grow this Lenten season? Let us pray. Change our heart, O Holy One. Jesus longs for us, wants to give us new life, But unless we turn away from our worldly things and towards him, we are not ready to be changed. Help us get ready. Conquer our indifference. Light us up with passion to improve the lives of people living with malaria. And as we pursue that goal, help us come face to face with you in an encounter that changes us for good. Make us hungry for your presence and your reimagined world. Amen.